Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. The Arctic is distant and impenetrable. Its place in the world, like its sister pole to the south, is to be apart. The people who uniquely inhabit the north have long lived within parameters of separation from a world history that has unfolded manically below them, a stasis frozen in time and indifferent to the noise of civilization. In that vast silence, over centuries, they have adapted and devised a wisdom of how to live in harsh places. Theirs is an inner-directed society based on survival, with animals enduring there alongside, providing through perseverance and good hunting, food, water, energy, clothing, medicine, and other materials by which to shelter and thrive. A 2017 report on transportation prepared by the Inuit Circumpolar Council of Canada is entitled "The Sea is Our Highway" and argues unequivocally that life in the Arctic is dependent on movement, freedom that enables inhabitants to move and exploit the richness to sustain generations. No one can argue that it was and remains nothing but a hard life, but it was their lives celebrated by achievement and rich cultural traditions passed through generations. In essence, the sea ice was the first Arctic road down which this history traveled. The larger world found the place apart nonetheless, the arrival of explorers and scientists who appropriated their findings for themselves in the form of knowledge exported to the lecture halls and natural history museums of Europe and the United States. These were followed by the exploiters, looking for wealth as gold or oil or fish, indifferent to social consequences in the intruded places. The 1974 construction of the Alaska Dalton Highway that connected the oil fields of the Arctic to the processing and consuming machines to the south was a transformative moment. The engineering perseverance of building such a link across such a vast and unwelcoming landscape was well compensated by the facility that followed, tanker trucks and pipelines that descended from the north to the big consuming engine to the south, crossing and disrupting habitats, migration routes, and the stability of indigenous society. As with the Caribbean and Africa, these were de facto connections of colonization designed to take away the spoils while bringing new values, co-opted governance, disease, drugs, alcohol, marginalization, broken communities, and disrupted traditions. All in all, this second road seems, in retrospect, much like a one-way street. This year, a third road was completed by virtue of a 128-kilometer extension between Unuvik, an administrative hub and largest town in Canada's western Arctic, that reaches Tuktoyaktuk, a small village of 900 on the shore of the Bering Sea. But this one is perhaps different. According to CyroPolitics, a very informative series of blog entries by Mia Bennett, through her conversations with the residents of those towns, quote, "It became clear that the highway is, at its heart, a local project. The new link is a result of years of tireless strategic lobbying by members of the Inuvialuit community, one of the indigenous peoples living on the lands that the highway cuts across," unquote. She suggests their project was really about building a road between two communities in order to provide much-needed jobs, stimulate economic activity, and hopefully lower the prices of things like groceries and fuel. The distinction here is that while the funds and intentions might be defined by distant government aspirations, the actual road was supported, built, and used for the benefit of the people who actually live in the region. But here is a cautionary note. With the possibility of permitting oil drilling in the Arctic Ocean, we are faced with these constructs as possible roads to resources and all the good and bad that that has been shown to entail. The saddest aspect of this story of Arctic roads is the present-day rapid melting of the sea ice, the first road that connects across the Arctic. No matter the success of roads 2 and 3, if the first road is gone, how much will be lost, and how can those people survive in a place now again apart? We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
Find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and at worldoceanobservatory.org.